Okie dokie, here we go. Hi, everybody. This is Sierra Sullivan, and we are here for another Love Up, where hearts rise together. And the intention for these calls every Monday, at least now until the end of the year, and we'll see what happens if more women start showing up and say that they're listening to these recordings. But as I've said on every call, I'm really inspired to give of my service, my expertise, my guidance during this time, particularly because it's rough out there. It's really rough out there. And, you know, on top of just already the challenges that come from being in life and being a woman and navigating through all sorts of different things, we have the world seemingly gone mad. And so I figured if I could gather us every week on some level, totally free, no opt-in, no hoops to jump through, just easy, hop onto this call and get your questions answered, get some love, get some support. I thought that would be a really good use of my time, my energy, and of course, my love. So that's what we do every Monday night at 4 p.m. Pacific and 7 p.m. Eastern. For those of you that are maybe watching this recording later and you don't know who I am, maybe you're part of the Fun Fab Girlfriends group. Maybe you found me on Facebook. It's funny, I actually I had like 300 friend requests, and I just hired a virtual assistant, so thank God I've got some extra support in my life now, and I'm having her email every single person that has requested me that I don't recognize, or I don't remember meeting, because I really want to know why are they requesting me. I don't know where women find me. It's like I've been on telesummits, I speak things, I put my videos out there. So if you found me through that, or if you've actually friend requested me and you got that message, please respond back so we can connect. Anybody that responds back, I'm like, cool, great. I just want to know who we are and what we're up to. But if you haven't ever met me before or somehow you found your way to this call, my mission is to really empower women into our divinity, to strengthen us and awaken us into our divine feminine essence, and also to have us have great relationships. So that there's a lot of categories that fall into that. And each week we pick a different category depending on what women have been asking about. And this week's category, or topic rather, not category, is all about clarifying your calling and awakening to your purpose. And that is a question I find a lot of people really struggling with. And particularly now, because we're in a time where we're rapidly, you know, evolving, and that's part of the reason why we've been in such like, you know, in the world and everything else. And those of us or people that we've known or we're watching that haven't always been awake to themselves, to spirituality, to consciousness, maybe they've just been kind of going through life, just taking what was handed to them, taking news and life at face value, looking at this world from a very three-dimensional lens. Well, a lot of those people are waking up now. And those of us who have been awake and on a spiritual path and knowing that there's so much more beyond what we see and touch every day, we're even called to a greater deepening in that evolution. So it feels like nobody is getting out untouched from what is being asked of us at this time. And as a result of that, a lot of people are searching for their purpose. They're realizing that no longer can they sit at their day job or do things that they don't want to do anymore when they know that there's something more that's out there. So if you are one of those people, then you're in the right place, you're on the right call, and we're going to go over some of the ways that I have found my calling and even more recently stepped into a bigger part of my calling. And the ways that you can really discover that for yourself. And it's not as hard as you might think. So we're going to go into that. Let's see what else. Each call runs approximately 60 to 90 minutes, just so you know. We'll start with a meditation in just a moment, just to ground us and open us and get us ready to receive. And then I'll teach for a little bit, and then we'll go into the question part of the evening. And the questions that could be asked can really be anything, even if it's not related to the specific topic. There will be a prompt that does relate to the topic. And so, you know, hopefully I'll get your juices flowing and you can get some. I'm assuming that many of you are watching this when you're watching this because this topic calls to you. But again, if you're here live with us and you're just here because, like, our lovely friend Sarah here, she's here because she just knows she gets a lot out of connecting with me and being on these calls. So she may not be relating to every single topic, but there's always something for everybody in these calls. So anyways, let's see if there's anything else I want to say before we dive into the meditation. I guess at the end, after the questions, then we usually end with what I like to call favorite frames. And those are little nuggets of like snapshots of something important or an aha that you got or something that really stuck out to you, just so we can digest together what happened and share some of the things that we got out of it so we can take that back into our lives. So perfect. All right. Well, I am going to bring us into meditation mode. I'm just going to make sure that I mute. Let me see. I always forget how to do these recording manage participants. Here we go. I'm going to put us all in mute mode. And I invite you to go ahead and, if you're in a safe place to do so, not driving, go ahead and close your eyes. Oh, wow. Yeah, just close your eyes and begin to just, you know, I would even invite you, of course, connect to your breath. That's always the first thing. Connect to your breath. Maybe even put a hand on your heart, hand on your belly. And just see if you can find a stillness in your breath. Stillness in this moment. Stillness in your heart. The stillness in your soul. And just noticing your breath. Not trying to move it in any one direction or another, just becoming aware that this amazing life force energy that is always present, always moving through us, whether we're conscious of it or not, keeping us alive, keeping us oxygenated. It's so great because it's something that that happens without us having to do anything. And also it's something that we can consciously connect to and control and use breath to our advantage. So as you're breathing, as you're just sort of holding your belly, holding your heart, I just want you to drop into yourself. I'm rubbing my belly, so maybe it's a good idea for you to just rub your belly, just give yourself a little nourishment. A little love rub for the love up. Just find where your breath wants to go. Maybe there's a few sighs in there. Maybe there's a certain depth that you can't quite get beyond, but you want to. I invite you to even rub your heart now. As soon as I touched my body, I felt called to rub my body. So I invite you to give your body some physical love with your hands. You know, just rub out that heart. Just feel into that heart. Breathe into your heart. Breathing into the center of your chest. And then breathing into the depth of your belly. Just finding your own unique rhythm, your own unique breath, your own unique flow. Maybe you want to yawn a little bit too. I've got the yawnies today. My breath is not so deep. It's not so flowing. I don't think I got enough rest this weekend. Kind of overdid it a little bit this morning in my workout. Maybe you're feeling the same. Maybe you got something else going on. So just take this moment before we dive in. Just be with yourself. Just keep breathing into the spaces of your body that need that extra love. And as you continue to breathe and massage any place in your body that needs that extra TLC, continuing to breathe, I'm just going to open up with a little invocation. Dear God, Goddess, Spirit, Heaven, Universe, Creator of all that is, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for bringing us together in this time of change, evolution, and often uncertainty. We know that everything is happening. It's happening for a purpose. It's happening in divine order, even when it seems like something else. We call upon our higher selves to trust in that, to know at the deepest level of our being that we are each on a unique path to our own divinity, to our own healing, to our own opening, to our own awakening. And as we bumble and bump through life, as we celebrate and laugh and shine our way through life, we are always on purpose, whether we know it or not. And I invite surrender. I invite allowance. I invite receptivity into the space tonight to hear my words, to hear my gifts, to hear my guidance in ways that can most serve you in this moment and the moments beyond this, in the topic of awakening to your purpose, awakening to your deeper calling. May we all be connected, be served in this time together, be opened to something more, something beyond the moment now. And may we trust and call in spirit and grace to be with us, to be with us here. We thank the spirits, we thank our guides, we thank the heavens, we thank God, we thank Goddess, and we say, A Mama. Ah, when you're ready, you can open your eyes. All right. Well, I have a lot to say about purpose. I want to say that I did think that my beloved Rana would be joining us this evening, although he's not able to. He's on a purpose, a mission of his own right now that he got a little bit behind in a project, and he has a deadline, and he's just getting in his role and can't really take the time out to be with us tonight. So I apologize for any false advertising, but he'll be back with us another time, and it'll be glorious. So, and maybe I can get him to come in for a hello at the end, but we'll see. All right, so let's talk clarifying your calling. You know, it's funny, many moons ago when I found myself on my first real purpose, I began teaching a course called Clarify Your Calling because a lot of people asked me, let me back up a second actually, I always knew I had a calling, right? I just knew in my heart that I was meant to do something significant in the world. But for a long time in my early 20s, I didn't know what that was. I was like, what is that? I know I'm meant to create something really good in the world, but what is it? What is it? What is it? And I had a job in the entertainment industry. I was working in film production, television commercials, and music videos. And it was fun. It's what I went to college for film production, but it definitely was not my purpose. It was not my calling. I didn't feel like I was advancing the world in any significant way. And one day my purpose literally knocked me over the head. It just totally knocked me over the head. It seemed like it knocked me over the head when actually it was something that I had been brewing on for a long time, but I didn't even know that it might have anything to do with my purpose. And which is why I started teaching the class, Clarify Your Calling. Once I got knocked on the head, went into purpose, started doing my purpose, and then people started asking me, how did you discover your purpose? I need help too. So I'm going to share more of that story, and hopefully you'll hear some things in your head that make sense if you're seeking your purpose or you're not sure what you're meant to be doing. And then I'm going to give you some specific tips and ways that you can be waking up to and stepping toward your calling and your purpose. And then we'll open up to questions. So when I was knocked on the head, it was so clear. I remember I was literally standing in line at the grocery store, like such a benign moment, buying groceries. And I was staring at the racks of magazines that are right there when you check out. And at the time, I really struggled with my body image. It was something that I had learned through my mother's own struggle with her body image. And I have three sisters, so it was a house full of women. And because my mom struggled with her body image, all of us had our own stories and journeys with our body image. And then, of course, you've got the world at large telling you to live up to an ideal standard of beauty that just isn't necessarily possible, especially with all the airbrushing and things that are out there. And so I really struggled. I literally remember being in high school. I was actually thinking about this memory recently. And I've always had small breasts, and I've always had a little belly. Just have had a belly. And my breasts and my belly are about the same distance out. And I had to be in a dance class. I took a dance class. I was silly enough to sign up for this dance class that all my girlfriends at the time wanted to sign up for. And I remember it was fine for the moment, but I'm not a big like choreographed dance kind of girl. Like I don't go to dance class, exercise classes. I just don't enjoy it because my coordination isn't that great, or that's my story at least. I'm willing to change that. I remember being mortified when I found out we had to wear a leotard for our recital, because a leotard was like, it just showed everything, and my belly stuck out just as much as my boobs did at the time, and it was just mortifying. And I remember thinking, oh, all my friends felt so skinny. So, you know, body image to me was a real issue for a very long time. But I didn't realize that would have anything to do with my purpose. It was just something I struggled with. And when I stood in line at that grocery store and I was buying my groceries and I was looking at those magazines, and I felt so accosted, like, why is it that I have to have this perfect body to feel good about myself as a woman? And why are these magazines telling me this? And I was so mad, and I started to feel so deflated. You know, I'm just out there trying to freaking buy my groceries, and there I am being accosted again, telling me, oh, I'm never going to be good enough unless I look like this, or have that flat stomach, or have the big boobs, or have whatever else I was thinking I needed to have. And that's when it hit me. I was like, well, wait a second. Why isn't there a magazine out there that actually empowers women? Why isn't there a conversation about women who have body image issues? Because I, to this day, have not yet met a woman who doesn't have some sort of body image issue, or hasn't at one point, in some way. And I thought, well, screw that. Like, this needs to change. There needs to be empowered images and empowered articles and empowered magazines. And I thought, awesome, I'm going to find that magazine. I didn't realize it was going to be my purpose, but I was activated enough to want to go and find that magazine. And so I looked. And I found a lot of great magazines at the time. Now, this was in 2002, so it was, you know, 15 years ago. Or actually, no, this was actually in 2000, I think. It was around 2000 or 2001, because I didn't actually step into my purpose till 2002. So for about a year, I went on this mission to find that magazine. I found yoga magazines, I found health magazines, I don't even think Oprah magazine had started back then. Maybe it had, I haven't discovered it. I found lifestyle magazines, but I didn't find a magazine that really, I even found, you know, goddess magazines. Like, there was all these niches in magazines, but I didn't see the kind of magazine I was talking about. I was talking about a glamour magazine, a cosmopolitan magazine, a Ms. magazine, that really addressed real women, real issues, and had real women on the cover and real women in the articles. Now, I didn't find that magazine. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I kept getting the message, well, you should start that magazine. You're supposed to start that magazine. And I had the big case of, who, me? Who, me? No. What do I know about starting a magazine? I mean, sure, I had a media background, but that was film. It was film production. I had a writing background. Okay, there was something. But I had no idea of what it would take to publish a magazine. So it was like not even in my wheelhouse. I was like, no, that's not happening. But the voice would not leave me alone. It would not leave me alone. Like, it was just always in the back of my mind. So eventually I started talking about it. I thought, you know, hey, maybe if I have this idea, somebody else might have this idea. Maybe if I connect with people about it and just start sharing this idea, maybe it'll start to pick up momentum. So I did. I started sharing the idea, and I started brainstorming with some of my friends. And I started to realize that a lot of my friends wanted that. They wanted that magazine. They wished that magazine existed too. So after about a year and a half of denying that as best as I could, I was really, really good at pushing that away. I at least was smart enough. Well, actually, the universe, you know, the universe whispers. Maybe you've had this experience. The universe will whisper, and then it'll speak, and then it'll shout, and then if you still don't listen, you're going to get knocked up on the side of the head. Well, the universe was shouting at me, and I wasn't listening fully, and I got knocked up on the side of the head with a couple of major traumatic things that happened to me and the year leading up to my availability, my yes, okay, I will follow this path. It really took a lot to have me awaken to the fact that this could be a possibility for me. And it took a whole life upheaval for me. And it might be happening to you. Maybe you're in that life upheaval right now. Maybe some things are being pulled, the rugs are being pulled up from underneath you. You know, trying to clear the slate for your availability, for what is meant to come forth in your life. So if that's you, I just want you to know that this could be your calling, whatever it is that's being pulled out from underneath you, clearing the way for your calling. And you may be already knowing that. So anyway, so that happened. A couple things happened. I don't need to get into that whole story of what that was, but I finally was so at my wit's end that I was just surrendered. I was like, okay, fine, I'm available. And when all of the stuff, the upheaval that went down and the orchestrated, I like to call it a three-ring circus of cosmic order, happened in my life at that time, I woke up and I said, you know what? I need to start this magazine. And I called my girlfriends. I called like 6 or 7 of my girlfriends, or maybe there was 8 of us. And I remember within a couple of weeks of like this last, like, all right, I'm done with this. This is the most awful thing. I mean, part of it was my dog died, my beloved dog died, and a whole bunch of crazy stuff happened at once. And it was like, all right, I'm listening. Let's start this magazine. And I gathered with 8 women in a living room, and we brought all the magazines and we talked about what could it be like? What would a magazine be like? How do we even create something like this? And by the end of that meeting, we were so fired up and so inspired that I knew I could do it. I still didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew I could do it. And I had the support of these sisters to help me. And at the end of that meeting, we realized, first of all, it was way more than a movement, or way more than a magazine, rather. It was a movement. And that movement needed to both be a published thing, a media outlet, but also a gathering space for women to share our ideas and have these rich and juicy conversations that we had just had. And so I thought, all right, I'm down for this. This felt good. This feels really good. And so I basically just said, all right, you write this, have your articles to me by Monday or whatever, and we'll start a newsletter. And what I did was I literally started a newsletter. I started the magazine by putting together a newsletter of various articles, various activities that were happening in the area. I was living in LA at the time. I'm back in LA again. That was it. It started. And next thing you know, women started contributing. And next thing you know, I figured out how to get it from just a newsletter to a PDF document. And then I figured out how to get it from a PDF document to a print document. And I mean, it was a bubblegum and shoestring operation for many years. But by the time 8 years went by, I had figured out how to publish a magazine. And it was a long and windy road. And that put me on my path to empowering women. And that felt great. Turns out the magazine wasn't ultimately my path. It was for 8 years. I did an amazing job. It grew me. It grew my business. My ability to create a business and my business savvy. And it was an amazing magazine, and it touched thousands and thousands and thousands of women's lives. I had incredible distribution and an incredible community supporting it, and incredible writers. And it was wild. But the magazine itself was meant to morph. And it did in 2010. And then I sort of, developed the next level of my calling. But my calling has and always will be, in some form, to enrich the lives of women, to have us love ourselves, and to have us grow ourselves. And it's evolved even now. And so, and I'll just say this last little bit and give you a couple tools, and then we'll open up the call. But I'm hoping that you're hearing yourself in my story, and that some parts of what I'm sharing might even already be occurring for you if you are in the search for your calling or your purpose. So funny enough, I got rid of the magazine in 2010. I moved back to the East Coast. I continued to empower women. I did focus my event on the lot. I focused my work on live events and gatherings, which had been part of the magazine as well. And then I hit a bump in the road, and I had a little dark night of the soul, and I had to reevaluate. And so I went in a different direction for a little while, and I did some business and marketing support for conscious entrepreneurs and healers and service providers. But that wouldn't last very long, even though it was very successful. And then I went on to reignite my calling to work with women, because you can't bury that. Like, if my calling would, even when I tried to step away from my calling, it wouldn't let me. It was like, it just gnawed at me again. It was like, what are you doing teaching business? You know, like, that's great. And I know you're helping women in business, but really your mission is to help women love themselves at the core of the core. And I was like, all right. And so I finally got back to it. And then I built up another series of events. And then I had another three-ring circus of craziness that happened, and I blew that up, and I don't want to get into all that, but it was fascinating, just the journey of the calling. And I said, all right, I'm done. This is too hard. I've tried to do this, this women stuff, this business stuff, and what do I do here? And I quieted myself again, and wouldn't you know it, the deeper level of my calling surfaced. And once again, it was something that had been nagging me for over 8 years. I mean, nagging me for 8 years, and I had pushed it away and pushed it away. Meanwhile, now I've had a successful business. I've empowered the lives of, hundreds of women in my life, of that thousands probably by now. But I knew at the core there was still something that I needed to go that was deeper, and it was more sacred, and the work was needed to be more evolved than where I was taking it, and it needed to have a different energetic around it than where I had been stuck in the business realm. And so when I blew everything up and quieted myself, I was shown that this is what I meant to say about that. Even though, so it's funny, the calling that I have now and the thing that was nagging me, I created a video back in 2008 talking about female ejaculations. And it was just a story. I was just telling a story about that and just talking about it. It wasn't anything sexual at all, really. And that video was, I put it on YouTube, and this is before YouTube was even barely a thing, blew up like gangbusters. Like, I was getting millions of views on this video. Meanwhile, in my other part of my business, I would do videos every single week, mail it out to my list, put them on Facebook, put them on YouTube, and I could barely get a couple hundred, watches. And this other video is like millions and millions and millions of people watching that. You think I would have had a clue? Right? This is the thing, right? Our calling. We're like, it's right there in front of our face half the time. And then once again, I had the who am I? I'm not a sex expert. I'm not a tantrika. I'm not an anatomy. I don't know anatomy. I don't know science. Like, I don't know sexuality. I'm not a sex expert. I had put it in this category thinking I needed to have all this information in order to follow that path. And I didn't for 8 years. And then when I quieted down and was listening, that information, that showed up for me again. And literally in the last month, I've said yes to that deeper calling. And for the last year, I've gotten into the deep reverential sacred pussy work, which has nothing to do with touch or female ejaculations or anything. It's just helping women awaken to the divinity of their sacred portal of life. I can say more about that if you have questions, and there's links. If you go to crjsullivan.com, you can check out my Secrets of the Universe masterclass, and you can learn more about that work specifically. And I do temple work and whatnot. I do pussy oracle readings and all sorts of really, really profoundly juicy and edgy stuff now. I used to not do that. I used to just focus on divine feminine and esoteric, and it's still esoteric. But literally, women keep begging me to teach them how to ejaculate. Begging me. Like, I can't, it's like the amount of work I do to get people to come to other events and other experiences, and even these love-up calls, these are free. I'm offering them for free, and we've done average gotten 2 to 10 women on. It's not even like going gangbusters here. But yeah, I've got women begging me to teach them how to ejaculate. And up until now, up until recently, I'm like, not me. Who am I? I don't know the technique. I can't really tell you how. I know how to do it myself. And I know the esoteric and the spiritual connection and the divine feminine connection, but I didn't think that was enough, right? This is the ways we trip ourselves up in our calling. And then this weekend, there was an extraordinary thing that happened. I facilitated a group of couples and some women on a really deep drive journey. And one of the women, it's not what we were doing, but one of the women experienced, based on, she'd asked me the night before to tell her, how does this happen? I explained what I knew spiritually and physically. And she had an experience with her man, and she totally ejaculated. And now I'm like, oh, I guess I can teach it, because I just did. I can't deny it anymore. It's my calling. I'm meant to help women in this way. And there's a bigger esoteric calling for me in that. And I'm here to unlock the waters and soothe the world and release the sacred fluid that all women carry. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my calling. So Anyways, I know that was a long story. But there was a lot more I could say in there, but I want to say to you some of the nuggets, some of the real tips and tools within that are your calling is something that has been bugging you for a long time. And it's something that you most likely have ignored or denied because you feel you've got the bad case of the who am I's, right? Thinking you don't have enough education, you don't have enough knowledge, you don't know how to make it happen. But it's still that voice that just won't go away. So I want you to really feel into that. Do you have something like that right now that's nagging at you? Now, the other piece, if it's something nagging at you and you're like, but I would never do that. This doesn't feel like my purpose. Like, why would I do that? Sometimes the nagging voice isn't necessarily going to put you directly on your direct purpose or path, but it's going to put you on the path to discover your purpose, right? It's going to put you in the line, the line of direct access that will lead you to the next bit of information that will guide you to your purpose. So regardless of whatever you're thinking about that nagging voice or that thing that keeps popping up and how much you feel disconnected from it or even downright heels dug in, like I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm here to do. I do this and that has nothing to do with my work and that is not the thing I want to be known for. 6 million plus views later. I don't think all my videos on YouTube combined, which are many. I think I have hundreds of videos on an old channel and a newer channel combined don't even come close to 6 million views. Let's just grok that for a second. I'm grokking it myself. So, there's something in that that needs to be explored if you're feeling that. And it's like the universe calling you over to see something that you might not be able to see right now because we just get blinded. We can't necessarily see the forest from the trees. We live such little worm's eye view sometimes. And in my manifestation videos, I talk a lot about, when we're in struggle, when we're feeling like less than, when we're stuck in our stories and we're stuck in, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in my life, or oh, how am I going to make money doing that, or how am I going to feed myself or pay my rent, or all the little me's. We can't see. We got our blinders on. We got our pie vision, not to mention all of the beliefs and all of the other things we've been taught along the way, particularly in this world. It's like an insane world of beliefs. I was just this morning having an awareness around like how I'm a bit of a slow, I always thought I was a fast learner, but I'm thinking I might be a little bit of a slow learner here because there's certain things that I've just took me a while to figure out. And it has to do with a lot of the conditioning. I didn't realize how conditioned I've been in the world. Oh, I know what it was. I was coming back from my exercise class and every time I plug in my phone to charge, for some reason, it brings up the audiobook, The Abundance Book, which is a great book, by the way. We talked about it a couple of love ups ago, The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. And it's like God wants me to listen to the love up, or not the love up, sorry, the abundance book. I don't even know why it's queued up or even where it is. It doesn't even bring up the app on my phone, but I plug in my phone and the abundance book comes up. Like, okay. So this morning I plugged in my phone and there it comes and I'm like, all right, well, let me just listen to this. And of course it's always a different part of the book too, which is weird. And that part he was talking about had to do a lot with what we were talking about a couple weeks ago at the Love Up when we did the money struggles talk and about nature and connecting to nature and the God self within us and source. And anyways, it's a great book. But so this morning I was thinking about, wow, why have I've been reading this abundance book for years. I mean, I go back to it. There's a prosperity plan. I mean, this is, I understand. That's why when it plugs in and it starts talking to me, I'm like, yeah, I know. I know. But I'm not necessarily really getting what he's saying. And this morning I was getting it at a different level. And I'm like, wow, I'm a little thick sometimes. But I said, no, I'm not really thick. I'm just the way I am. I'm fabulous and amazing. And I just didn't realize the depth of indoctrination that I had in myself from the world. And all of us do. All of us have been taught, told, shown, given beliefs since we were little babies that really don't belong to us. And it's up to us now in this awakening time, in this evolutionary time to really question everything. Question everything. Question reality. Question your thoughts. Question people speaking to you. Question me. Don't take everything I'm saying for granted. It's find your own path. You know, I have an expertise for sure, but your path is your path and my path is my path. So anyways, it's time to, oh, thank you, love. it's time to really question everything that doesn't feel right anymore. And, well, let me say, it's the question everything feels right anymore, but I don't say, but don't, but I'd say, start to go into inquiry around the nagging voice in your head, because there's something that wants to call you forth. And most often that has to do with your purpose. Okay, let me see what else I want to say about clarifying your calling and your purpose. This is what I wanted Rana to share, but I'll just speak to it. So for the last couple of years, Rana has been on a path of, well, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Where's my purpose? It must not be my purpose. What's my purpose? And he's been even hired people to help him find his purpose and took courses. And what he ended up realizing was actually he had to go down this whole long road just to discover he was actually already on purpose. So that may also be the case for you. Your purpose may not be something out there. In fact, it's not. It's not even something out there. We all think it's got to be some vocation or some way of life or some, my book is my purpose, or some being a messenger. And that may be. But your purpose may be just being an amazing mom. Your purpose may be that you love gardening, and that is something beautiful. And that may be something that you could teach if you even want to, right? So purpose has been given a little bit of a bad rap by this, you know, production-driven, results-oriented, masculine world that we live in. And I think often that takes us away from allowing ourselves to surrender into the juiciness of our own delightful ventures and our own hobbies and habits and fun things that we like to do. Maybe not habits, hobbies that we like to do. And we don't even maybe give ourselves enough permission to do those things because we think, well, what's the purpose of that? Right? And so I really want to also invite another listening into your life to what also might be there that feels very purposeful for you. Because a purpose doesn't have to be, we all don't have to be Oprah this lifetime. You know? I mean, that's a path. But that's Oprah's path. You know, and maybe being famous and making that much of an impact is your purpose. And if you feel that and you're hungry for that, for sure, go for that. And sometimes that might take you away from a deeper divinity. I know for me, I'm super inspired by Oprah. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the next O magazine. I got the Ray magazine, which was the name of my magazine. And I'm going to be the next O magazine, right? And you know what? That wasn't my purpose. My purpose was to be in sacred space with women, opening them up to the divinity of who we are and our sacred knowing. And that comes in various forms. And maybe someday that purpose will be fulfilled. And, but I'm not going to work my ass off to get there, because my purpose is to love myself. My purpose is to change who I am and to become the best person I can be and to be a model of whatever message that I'm here to offer the world. So that's what I have to say. And let me see. I did have a few other notes. I know I've been talking for a very long time. I have just a lot to say about this. Oh, I'll just say, yeah, I found this article that I'll just share some quick highlights, and then we'll open it up to any questions and some dialogue. But one of the things that I believe a calling is it's something that you receive. It's something you open up to. It's something you create space inside yourself for. I already talked about how it comes as a nudge or an idea that doesn't go away. But you know, it's something that makes you come alive. Right? So whatever is making you come alive, there's purpose in that for you. There is a calling in that for you. And it's worth exploring. It's worth moving toward. So thinking about what makes you come alive, like the word, like what inspires you, the word inspire is a Latin word. It literally means to breathe life into. So when you're working towards things that inspire you, when you're working within contexts of things that inspire you, it makes you feel more alive. When you feel more alive, you're on purpose, right? Life is about expansion. We're either growing or we're dying. If we're dying, we're dying. So let's be growing, because there's no hanging out in the middle. There's just no hanging out. You know, watch this plant, you know, you see you have a house plant that's either growing or it's dying. It's not just like, I'm cool now, I'm good, I'm just gonna hang out here. No, it's growing or it's dying. And it's the same for us. We're the same as nature. So let's grow. And growing means feeling more alive. When you feel more alive, you feel more on purpose. You feel more connected to yourself and to the world. Another thing is to look for, well, what are your innate strengths? Okay, so, you know, what are the strengths that you have? Maybe this is an exercise that you can journal about. Maybe you can ask some friends, what do they see as your strength? If you're just like, well, what am I good at? I don't really know what I'm good at. Start asking the people around you, what is it that you're good at? You'll probably start to see some clues as to what you could be good at with the things you're already good at, right? And move towards that as a calling or as a purpose. And then another question is, where do you add the greatest value, right? So doing work that you're good at but that you loathe is not a pathway to fulfillment, right? But knowing your greatest strengths and where you can add the most value through the application of whatever, your education, your skills, your knowledge, your experience, that can help you focus on the opportunities, roles, or career path where you're most likely to succeed and therefore have a great sense of accomplishment and contribution. So thinking about where do you add the greatest value? And often just know we undervalue our strengths at times. Because we kind of take them for granted. One of the things I used to say when I was teaching business empowerment was, common knowledge to you is not common knowledge to everyone else. And things that you may take for granted may be the very thing that's needed in some sort of job, community, offering, friend's life. And you may find that people come to you for that skill. And it's valuable. Or when you bring that skill forward, you really make a difference. So be thinking about where do you add the greatest value. And then the fourth question is, well, how will you measure your life? I love this quote, people who don't stand for something can easily fall for anything, right? So deciding how you want to measure your life means making a stand for something and then living your life in alignment with that. So living with purpose means focusing on things that matter most to you. Not doing the things that you think you need to do or think you should do in order to make a living, make your parents proud, you know, do what you're supposed to do as a good girl or a good mom or whatever. I mean, sometimes, yeah, we got to, you know, just do what needs to be done in order to get to where we need to go. But that's not the end of the rope. That's just a time. That's just for a time. And if we do that too long, we begin dying, right? We lose our zest for life. We lose our inspiration. So, you know, measuring our life, and I have a whole video about systems of measurement, like how are we measuring things? Be mindful of what you're measuring yourself up to or up against. And instead of measuring yourself to some of the systems out there that we have, maybe start measuring yourself on how much joy you have in life and how much pleasure you have in your life and how much happiness and how much laughter and how much playtime that you have and just really how much enjoyment you have. Like, that's a measure of an extraordinary life. Not necessarily how much money we have in the bank account. It's not how big our house is. It's not the kind of car we drive. But for me, a measure of success is how many friends that I have and what are the quality of my friends and what are the quality of connections that I have in my life and what's the quality of relationship that I have with my husband and how do I feel in my body and what is the quality of food I eat? Those are the things that I like to measure. So checking into how are you measuring your life is going to also go a long way for you to feel on purpose. And then lastly, one of the things is when you're really just not sure, I heard this from one of my mentors back forever ago, is if you believe in a higher power, if you connect to source, even if you're just connecting to nature, whatever is the something that feels greater than you, ask for guidance. Like, how would you have me be used? How shall I serve? And if you wake up with that question, you go to bed with that question, or you sit and you ask that question with a journal, and you allow what's meant to come, you might be surprised at what comes forward. And I would bet it has to do with something that you've already known. Right? You've already known the chatter in the back of your head. So those are some ways that I would encourage you if you're searching for your purpose, if you're not sure about your calling, if you're looking for something more out of your life, to step into inquiry on those. All right, so it's question time. Looks like we had somebody and then they fell off. So we just got the lovely Sarah here. And I'll just unmute you and you can unmute yourself. So got any questions for me, lovely?
Well, this is a subject that I've really, really, really been contemplating. Yes, Hannah, can you please come and get him? I've been really, really thinking about this a lot lately, and it exactly what you said. I feel like I know a whole lot about different subjects, but not enough on anything in particular. So, so it's, you know, jack of all trades and master of none almost. Mm-hmm. So, but I do have a few things that are really, really pulling my heart that I just don't know how to really get started with it, and just feeling like I don't have the confidence to go ahead and do it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's jam on that, because I forgot to mention, but a lot of times that's what gets in the way, right? The who am I's, the who am I's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, what's calling you?
Okay. So I've got this really, really deep feeling in my heart that I'd definitely like to be working with women who've been in an abusive relationships, or been brought up in abusive relationships, to mm-hmm. sort of help heal those wounds. And then another thing that I'm really, really thinking about is, I think it would be so awesome to work with kids or teenagers to really introduce them into, you know, just the whole idea of conscious awareness and spirituality. And there's nothing like that for kids, but the kids that I seem to be talking to, are they really grasp it. And I don't know, they need to be taught that stuff at an early age so they don't get to be my age and
yeah,
struggling, you know.
Yeah. Both of those are amazing. They're amazing. Those are great callings. And so is it just the confidence or just the know-how? Because we can, I could share what I would suggest that you do in order to move toward that.
Okay, so you know what? In all actuality, I feel like I actually do have the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It is myself allowing other people to not take steps forward. And I understand that that's me completely. So honestly, it's just taking the steps that I need to take,
mm-hmm.
how to get there.
Yeah. And do you know those steps? Or you kind of got them in your mind of what you think they are?
Well, I have a few ideas. One of my really strong points is that I'm a really, really good networker. I'm really good with social media, and I'm really good at building relationships. I've been working on that almost exclusively for the past couple of years. And so I would call myself pretty much an expert in that area. So I know that that will be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know I have that going for me. And so it's really more about putting together a program, I think.
Yep. Yep.
And that I don't know how to do.
Well, I bet you do, right? Like I didn't know anything of what to do about any of this stuff, right? It's almost like you just say yes. It's like if you build it, they will come kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest, so first of all, I love both of those ideas. What lights me up the most for you right now, because those of you listening, I know Sarah, I know her pretty well here. What lights me up the most for you right now is the idea of bringing the conscious awareness to a younger generation, mm-hmm. only because that will really light you up versus the dealing with the pain body that comes with helping others in abusive relationships, right? Not that that wouldn't light you up. And I think that that could be even just a support group that you create or a meetup that you create easily, okay, just to gather women and start having conversations. You know, and that could be fairly easy. I just think that there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes with that.
Well, I'm also still sort of in the thick of it. So I know I'm not quite to the position where I would even be able to fully embody that, but in the future, possibly. And I like your idea of a meetup or support group type of thing. That's mm-hmm. a good idea.
Yep, exactly. And just, you know, have circles around those topics, and not, you know, not about how to get out of the abusive relationship, but how do we empower our voice, or all the ways that you've been
right.
learning and growing mm-hmm. while you're in it, while you're right. in, you know,
right.
So yeah, so that could be a fun thing to just test out. Who knows? That could just all of a sudden take off, and next thing you know, you've got all these great gatherings and events and workshops that come out of that. That's sometimes how it goes. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. actually. But I think for like what I would pick an age group, and then I think I have somebody that's doing this actually. I just did meet somebody. I'd have to reconnect with her. So I don't think I got her contact information. But I just met somebody she's a psychic, and she's been bringing some sort of like teachings into after school programs. She's been doing, so it feels like, what you've been talking to maybe Hannah about, and or what you've been talking to the youth about, like maybe jam with Hannah and say, hey, what has been a couple of topics that you've been the most excited to learn about from you, that she's learned about from you. And then just sort of write up a couple of little descriptions of what those could be. And then I would say, you know, either you could network with other moms and maybe have, or get Hannah to invite a couple of her friends over and test bed it. And just say, hey, you know what? Let's get together next Thursday night or Friday night, and we're going to spend an hour, and I'm going to talk about the benefits of meditation, and we're going to do a little 20-minute meditation, and then we're going to talk about what did you get. Right? Or we're going to talk about crystals, and we're going to talk about the importance of, you know, metaphysical objects and how these things are, you know, again, I don't know what you've been, what's the most juicy for you, but, or Reiki, or you're learning, you know, what you're learning in your class that you're taking. Mm-hmm. Like the power of healing with the, you know, energy healing, and let's try out some energy healing on each other. And, you know, just, I mean, I'm sure there's multitudes of topics, you know, let's talk about past lives. Let's talk, you know, whatever your jam is, and see how it goes. And then next thing you know, those friends might be more friends, and then more friends. Next thing the moms are going, hey, wait a second, what about me?
Actually, I was thinking that would be a really sort of a backdoor way into a larger conversation. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
So it's like, you don't have to one of the things that often happens, and this happened to me as well. Well, actually it didn't happen to me. I'll say is we think we need to have it all figured out before we go and do it. Right. We're like, oh, I got to have in this world teaches that, oh, you got an idea, put together a business plan, bring the business plan. But the putting together a business plan, geez, that alone is like scary and a freaking big old ordeal. I didn't have my business plan of the Ray magazine till I was like 4 or 5 years in. And honestly, had I tried to put together a business plan to start that magazine, I would have never done it. I would have been like, forget this. This is way too hard. I mean, I hired somebody to help me put a business plan together. And it was a lot of work. I was like, screw this. It was more fun to just do the business than have a business plan. And, you know, so oftentimes we get caught up in the thinking that we need to have more together in order to make it work, when really it's like, just start a conversation. Just gather a couple people that you would like to see test, like I did. I gathered 8 women in a living room. We talked about what could it be like. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do this. And then I had writers. And then I had, you know, and it just sort of began. And then the momentum kept me figuring out along the way until finally I had the magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, introduction to crystals or energy healing 101.
Exactly.
I'm definitely a healer, and I'll be done with that certification shortly. It won't be too much longer. So I'm really excited about that. And so now I'm just sort of, you know, gathering thoughts and information and downloads on what can I do next.
Yeah. And one hit I got for you too is potentially in the meantime, you can be looking up organizations that are already in schools. Like, for example, I volunteered for Girls on the Run for a while. They're a national nonprofit organization that have local chapters, and they have their own curriculum. Like, they teach a curriculum about positive body image and helping, you know, young girls like 9 through 12, like, mm-hmm. at a time where they really want to shut down and become, they call it the girl box. But it was great for me because I wanted to just, well, one, I love that program. And so I volunteered, and then that just got me in that sort of circuit. Like, I don't hang around, I don't have kids, I don't hang around with kids. So had I wanted to do more with kids, I would have already been connected to kids and kind of seen how it's done. And, you know, and it was an amazing program. It was an amazing chance for me to get to hang out with 9 through 12 year olds and teach them empowerment. It's a great curriculum. I taught that curriculum, but it was great curriculum, you know, and I was like, where's this for adults? I mean, it was me, I was doing that, but it was great. So there might be just even a way for you to be of service in somebody else's already existing container that would sort of both give you something to kind of model, but also wet your whistle and also get you connections and find out maybe, and just meet, you know, parents and children. You know, again, teenagers, I mean, you have a teenage daughter, so I'm thinking that's the easiest way. Like, she has three right. friends over, or two friends over, you got a posse of, you know, you and her and a couple of friends, you just start testing it out and just see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then you know, no harm, no foul, right? And then you're like, hey, then I bet, I can guarantee that something's going to pop from that. Like, you don't have to do anything, right? We think we got to go do something. You know, when I talk a lot of them, not don't do anything, lean back.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah, and I know for sure that she has at least several friends that would already be interested. You know, as soon as I came home with my pendulum, she immediately had to go buy a pendulum, and she took it to school. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. It's best marketing.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that gave me the idea that it actually could work. So I was like, yeah, they're really interested.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually, you know, when you feel more confident and things start moving and grooving, you can start charging. Hey, it's a $10 for these classes, $20 for these classes, you know? And then I think parents will probably start wanting to get in on it. Or parents will get freaked out, and then, you know, whatever. You'll have, you know, things will, whatever. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But more good than not good is going to come of this.
Well, and actually that brings me to my next question. And that is that once you start getting really deep into your work, there comes a point where you have to be really authentic. I mean, you want to be authentic, you know, from the get-go, but, you know, there's a lot of truths that end up coming out. And how do you deal with getting around that? If you know, do you understand? Like,
getting around the truths, or getting around what is the specific?
Well, just getting really comfortable with being seen.
Oh, got ya.
In an authentic way.
Gotcha. Well, I would say that when you're connected to your why, like when you start, for me, I mean, I'm a little different because I'm all about being seen. I grew up in front of the camera, and I grew up in the public eye, and, you know, so it wasn't really a big deal for me. There were some places where I didn't want to show up, like doing my first YouTube videos were really hard because I thought I had to have it all perfect and have it all together. But you just, it's like anything, any calling, any purpose is going to evolve you, right? And there are going to be things that you're going to have to grow to meet your purpose. And so if you see it as the best personal development course you could ever take, like, you want to grow anyways.
Right.
So when you're up against something that feels like, that's your chance to grow. And if it's all of a sudden, you know, that's the next thing that you need in order to grow your business or grow your calling or step onto your path, you're just going to have to grow. And if you feel contracted, then that's the place where you're like, okay, wow, I'm feeling contracted. What needs to be looked at here? What needs to heal inside me? What, maybe there's a different path I can take. Maybe there's something that doesn't want to happen in that way, and you reevaluate. So it's always good. And you got to be willing to expand beyond or look deeper.
Everything you ever wanted was on the other side of fear.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's one of my favorite quotes these days, but
yeah.
And I will say this, slightly off topic, but I've been doing Zoom conferences for 2 to 3 years at least. And the first time I've ever actually turned my camera on was with these calls. Oh. And it actually has served another purpose, a greater purpose, because I've actually done live videos now in a group because I got used to seeing myself on these calls.
Yay! So
first live interview in a group last week, and so I was excited about that.
Yay! See? Exactly. To quote Nike, or I don't even, somebody actually said it wasn't even Nike that came up with this slogan, but you know, just do it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. You know, every bit. I mean, life, we're growing. We're either growing or we're dying. So if you're growing, you're going to, you know, there'll be growing pains, and growing pains are good because it means you're growing. Yeah, that's okay. Awesome. So given what we just discussed, what do you think your next best action will be toward that calling?
I think that I'll sit down and do some journaling around it and then maybe set up a sleepover. Just that's a great suggestion. I had not thought of that specifically, and I know Hannah has at least 2 or 3 friends that we can set up something with.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So just beta test it out and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then if they all super love it, say, hey, bring your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Kids love it because kids are more open to it because they're less jaded by the world, right? They're still so in the discovery mode. So I think that is why they are so receptive to it. They haven't been conditioned out of not believing in magic, right? It's like they're still wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and available, and they know something's up, and they're kind of like, especially teenagers, right? Because they're like, I don't know about this. What do parents got going on, or what the world's got? You know, they're in that kind of rebel, trying to find themselves phase. At least that's how I was, and they're really ready for something different. They want something different. It makes them feel good. You know, so I think the teenage market is a great market for you. And given that you've got a teenager that can help bring some friends to the table, it sounds like a great place to start.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you see me, what I do with the kids up at camp, you know, I mean, little Will is 6 or 7 and or however he is now, and 6, I think. And, you know, magic galore. I'm teaching him all the time about magic. And so they are open, you know, but I think teenagers can do more with it because they're more, developed.
Yeah, and it's really fun too because Hannah will say, oh, I think I just manifested that. You know,
yay.
Did I just manifest that? I just thought about that song and it just came on the radio. I just manifested that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
that is so good. Yep, more kids that are in that zone, that, you know, it's just like we've all got to unplug from this false reality and wake up to our own reality creation powers. So yeah. That's wonderful. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear. It'll be super fun. Any other questions while you got me?
I'm good right now, I think.
All right, cool. Well, any favorite frames?
You know, I really appreciate what you said in the beginning about how you had such a struggle with body image as a young woman, because I mean, it seems to be just getting worse and worse. And of course I struggled the same way, but that's something that I'm really, really focusing on with Hannah. And even with the positive feedback from me and trying to change her thought patterns and stuff like that, society just still really gets a hold big time.
Yeah. It really does.
It's so important.
Yeah, especially with social media now. And it's just, you know, they're being accosted. They don't have to even go to the grocery store to be accosted.
Right.
They'll wrap on their phone and their faces and their computers. Yeah, it's pretty rough still. I'm looking forward to a day when we just love ourselves. And I'm inspired because there's a lot of movement around about that, more so than there was back when I was on that mission. I'm still on that mission. It just looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I forgot to do announcements, so I have to do those now. I was like, oh, we're right to favorite frames. Well, Sarah, thank you for being here and continuously showing up for these calls. It means a lot. And knowing that you're getting a lot out of this and valuable, it makes my heart feel good. So yeah. Everyone else as well, if you're watching this later or listening to it later, again, these calls happen every Monday night, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And I don't have a theme for the next one. I have to look at some of the things that I've been asked, so I will be posting that. All of these calls, the recordings of these calls can be found on our Love Up page, which is lifestylized.com/loveup. So again, that's lifestylized.com/loveup. And that always has a dial-in number. And any announcements that we have that are current, like any events that Rano and I are doing, and all of the recordings. And then when we have, when I mention certain resources, we have links to those resources as well underneath the recordings. It also has a link to our Facebook group. So if you're not already part of our Fun Fab Femme Girlfriends group, that is mostly where I post the events, the Facebook events, to have you join us for these calls. So join the conversation, and all week long we'll be covering this topic. We'll be diving in with a couple posts throughout the week and encouraging the conversation to continue for those that weren't on the call that want to just dive into the conversation on Facebook. And I'm open to hearing what topics that you're needing and wanting support on. So please feel free to tag me and share if there's a specific topic you'd like me to cover. And I think that's it. I don't have any other specific announcements or any events that are coming up right at the moment. I might be doing a solstice ritual. I'm debating on whether I'm going to do it live or virtually. So if I do that virtually, I'll be letting everybody know. But that's whatever the solstice falls on, the 21st or the 20th. I'd have to look. But keep that in the back of your mind, as I'll let y'all know next week if you're here what I'll be doing. And I'll be, when I decide I'm going to do that, I'll be posting that in the girlfriends group as well. So get in the girlfriends group. That's where it all goes on. All right, everybody. So thank you for being here. I hope that you have been inspired to follow your purpose and your calling, and I'd love to hear what this call has inspired you. So head on over to the Girlfriends group and tag me and share what you got. So thank you so much, and have a good day. Bye.